Luke this morning. Book of Luke. I believe my battery's dead.
Appreciate Brother Eric
filled in for me Wednesday night. He must have preached long because the battery was dead in the mic. Amen. That's all right. I'm just kidding. I heard he did a great job, and I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. You visitors, we count it an honor and a privilege to have you here. We invite you after the service to stay with us. We've got plenty of barbecue chicken. Is it good, preacher? Sure smells good. Amen. But I don't want you thinking about chicken all morning. I want you thinking about Jesus. So if you've got your Bibles in Luke chapter number 5, won't you stand with me just for a second? We'll read Luke chapter number 5. They asked me what time to have the food ready. I told them 2:30, so we'll be all right. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I told them 1:30. Amen. Luke chapter number 5. Brother Troy's getting scared. Luke chapter number 5, amen. Verse number 12. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who seen Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, we thank you for what you've already done. Lord, how you've encouraged us and our hearts through the songs that's filled with scripture and the promises of your word. The promise that one day you're going to call us home and catch us up together. And one day we'll be with you and with our loved ones that have known you. And God, we look forward to that day with great anticipation and excitement in our hearts. And God, today, though, we're here and Lord, we're living in the world where perilous times have come and men are growing, waxing worse and worse. And God, we need some help and we need help today, God, from you that only you can do. And God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you meet with us. Lord, today, I pray you'd have your will and way in everything that's said and done. God, I pray you'd give me the very words to say. God, help me to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, filled with your Spirit. God, use us for your glory. God, have your will and way. If there be someone here that slipped in and they don't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray today would be the day that they meet Jesus. And God, I pray for Christians that maybe they're discouraged and maybe some of them's backslid. And God, maybe they're wandered far away from you. God, I pray today you'd work in that heart. Lord, encourage them and help them to draw near and dear to thee. God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all you've done and all you're doing and all you are. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. All right, and here we've read this story about the lepers in Luke chapter number 5, and I want to preach a message with God's help on this thought. He will if you will. He will if you will. You know, today, many people today, they believe that God worked miracles in the past. They believe God did mighty wonders in the past. They believe that God done a lot of mighty works in the past. When we read in the New Testament, we see the things that Jesus did, the things the apostles did. They believe that God did many great things in the past. They have, if you want to say it this way, they have their theological ducks in a row. They've got everything figured out, so they think. They have everything doctrinally, so they think, theologically figured out. But their lives, listen to me, practically their lives manifest absolutely no demonstration of the power of God. And I will say that's a sad state in the day we live. And I will simply say this, one of the reasons we have so little power is because we have so much pollution. Listen, you'll never have the power of God living an unholy life. You'll never have the power and the presence of the Holy God in your life and working through you and in you. Hey, listen, and doing great things through your life. Listen, as long as you're living like the world, acting like the world, doing the things of the world, the things that put the Lord Jesus on the cross. So one reason we don't have power is because we've got too much pollution. But people have an attitude that they have it all together. Maybe it's because they're religious. You know, I go to church. I go through this ritual. I've got my religious customs in plan. I'm religious. I've got everything's all right with me. I'm religious. You know, they can live like they want to, go where they want to, spend the week all doing the things they want to do, giving no regards to God. But they're religious, and they know how to go through the steps of being a religious zealot, if you will. And so they think they've got it all together because of their religion. I just want to say to you that religion will send a lot of people to hell. There's a lot of people that is not going to go to hell off of a bar stool, but they're going to go off of a church pew. And it's a sad state, but it's the truth. And you need to know it this morning. But there's a lot of people that think they've got it together because they're religious. There's a lot of people that, listen, you may think you're all together and you've got it all figured out because you're a Baptist. Can I just say, I thank God I'm a Baptist? And somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd probably be ashamed, amen. But thank God I'm a Baptist. But can I say, just because you're a Baptist don't mean you've got it all together. Amen. Somebody said, are you one? I heard about it. I think it was Brother Mays Jackson. Somebody said, are you one of them ones that thinks only Baptists go to heaven? He said, I'm worse than that. I don't think many of them are going. And I'm just simply saying, hey, just because you're a Baptist doesn't mean you've got it all together. You may say, well, I get it all together because I'm an American. No, you don't have it all together because you're an American. Listen, I thank God I'm an American, amen. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm glad that God has blessed America. But just because you're American makes you better than no one. Somebody says, well, I got it all together because I'm from the South. But I thank God that I was born in the, you know, on the southern end of the Mason-Dixon, amen. I'm glad I live where we like biscuits doughy and tea sweet, amen. And we like gravy and we like, hey, fried pig, amen. I was asked Brother Troy if he liked fish. He said, as long as it's dead, amen. Listen, that's the way I like my cows. I like my cows dead, amen. Dead, hot, and red, amen. And I'll eat it, amen. But I thank God that I grew up in the South. Amen. Y'all all right where we eat grits? But just because we grew up in the South where we say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, just because you got good manners and you got some Southern point, just because you grew up, hey, under the Mason-Dixon doesn't mean that you got it all together. Y'all stick with me. We're going somewhere. Listen, can I just say this? Just because you white don't mean you got it all together. Listen, can I say you had no control over the color of your skin? Look up in here. It's preaching time. Hey, listen, don't think you're better than anybody because of the color of your skin, because you had absolutely no control on that. Amen. And God made you red, yellow, black, white, whatever he made you. Listen, if he made you polka dot, he made you the way he wanted you. Hey, man, preacher, that's good preaching. You shouldn't feel superior or inferior to anybody, but you ain't got it all together because you're a certain race. You know, I felt like I hit a kink right there. I think I'll run that stump one more time. Let me get that chain a little bit. Just because you're a color that somebody else ain't, don't mean you're better than them or you're worse than them. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. If I don't like that, vote me out. Amen. But you're not, and listen, you don't have it all together because you're religious, Baptist, American, Southern, white, black, red, yellow. Many have the idea that God, listen, that God worked wonders in times past, but that's only history for us to read about. The question that I have for you this morning is, what about us today? What about 2013? What about the people at New Hope Baptist Church this morning? What about God working in our life? What about our problem? What about our crises? What about our times of unavoidable agonies? What about our storms that we face and the trials that we go through? What about our times of despair? What about our times of devastation? What about our heartaches? What about our woes? Well, I'm here to say today that God's still in the wonder-working, soul-saving, home-restoring, life-repairing, spirit-refreshing, church-reviving, heart-warming, sin-killing, soul-winning business. He can still heal your body. He can still change your life. He can still save your soul.
He can still build a church. He can still turn a nation around. Hey, he can still do the wonders that he's always done. God's not dead. He's still alive. Hey, man, and he's alive forevermore, and he's got all power. And I'm here to say this morning, hey, that the question is not really if he will, it's not if he can, but the question this morning is, will we have an attitude towards our God that will invite him to work in your life and in mine? Because I'm saying, if we'll have the right attitude, he will if you will. He will if you will. Hey, he will if you will. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'll give you a few examples, then we'll get into this passage. But I was thinking about Abraham last night. I was thinking about Abraham. God told Abram, he was called Abram before he was Abraham. He said, Abram in Genesis 12, he said, get out of your country, get away from your father's house, get away from your kindred. And he said, and I will bless thee, and I will make thee a great nation. And he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. He said, but Abram, you've got to do something. Abram, listen, Abram's not going to get the blessing. He's not going to be blessed to be the father of a great nation as long as he sits at daddy's house. He said, Abram, you get up and do what I've asked you to, and I will. You say, can he? Yeah, he can. He will. He did for Abram. Now, I was thinking about Moses. He went down there to Moses, and he got Moses on the backside of a desert, and he told Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose and set them free. Moses, he had all excuses. I can't talk. I can't do this. About like us all the time. He had a lot of excuses. And God said, listen, Moses, you just go down there and tell him that the Lord said, and he said, I will. And you go over in Genesis chapter 3, and God said, I'll put my hand on him. I'll work in Pharaoh. I'll make sure he lets him go. Y'all all right? He will if you will. But I was thinking about Jeremiah over there in a prison, in Jeremiah in 33, and God comes to Jeremiah, and he says, call unto me. He says, call. In other words, pick up your phone and call him. No, in other words, get on your knees and cry out to the God of heaven. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, he said, I will answer thee, but he said, before he's going to answer, you've got to call. I'm saying, he will if you will. If you'll call him, he'll answer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I was looking over here last night through a few scriptures over here in Luke chapter number 11. Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. It's interesting when he taught them to pray. This is one of the illustrations that he gave them. He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. You got to ask. Seek and you shall find. You got to seek. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You do the asking, you do the seeking, you do the knocking, and he'll do the rest. If you will, he will. I'm simply saying this morning, hey, our attitude toward God, our anticipation toward God, the way that we present ourselves to God, how much we seek God, has a lot to do with what he does in and through our lives. Do you have an attitude that would invite God to work in your life? You say, preacher, are you saying that we as humans, as frail humans, can limit an omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, holy, sovereign God? Absolutely. And I know you'll get your heart back up here in a minute, but over in Psalm 78, the Bible talks about the nation of Israel and their disobedience and their murmuring, and talking about how they limited the Holy One of Israel. I'm simply saying that if you don't want him to work in your life, he's not going to make you. Listen, I'm simply saying this. In this story here about this leper, we see that he had an attitude that was the proper attitude, but that proper attitude led to some powerful actions that the Lord worked in his life. I want you to look with me here for a little while, if y'all not bored to death. Y'all be all right? Y'all got chicken on your brain? Amen? Just go ahead. I ate all the chicken, all right? It's gone. Amen? Listen, our attitude, if we have the proper attitude, young people, you got fired up, excited this week. Listen, if you'll learn to keep the proper attitude toward God, God can do some powerful, mighty acts in your life. Mom and daddy, he can do it for you. And I'll simply say, well, let's look at this. It's the cause and effect, if you will. The chain of events. How does it work in our life? Well, I see something here in this story. I want to share it with you just for a little while. But I'll say this. When I was thinking about this over in Matthew chapter number 5, I believe it's verse number 6, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Did y'all get that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Do you hunger and thirst? The reason a lot of us are not filled with the power and the presence of God, the reason we're not filled is because we're not real hungry. See, we've got everything else in our life to fill up us, and so we don't have to have God. We don't have to. After all, I've got my 401k. I don't need God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a 401k, amen. But if you're trusting that 401k more than you're trusting God, you're in trouble. Listen, I'm simply saying this morning. Do you hunger and thirst after him? Listen, he said if you hunger and thirst after him, he said you'll be filled. Can I say this? Here, number one, I want you to look with me in this passage at the attitude of the leper. First thing I notice here is the attitude of the leper. The attitude, some of y'all still caught up because I said we wasn't superior to one another. Some of y'all still hung up on that. Y'all need to get past that. The attitude of the leper. Can I say this about the attitude of the leper? He was depraved. He realized it. Look with me in verse number 12. It says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, when we think about leprosy, there's many things we can think about. When we think about leprosy, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Now, it literally was a sickness that this man had, but throughout the scriptures, leprosy is used as a picture of sin in a person's life. But if we go back to Leviticus, yeah, easy for you to say. Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you'll find where God talks about Leviticus. In Leviticus, he talks about the sickness of leprosy, and he talks about how they were to treat it. He talked about it, the different rituals that they would go to the priest and how the priest would handle it. And you can see some things about leprosy in Leviticus 13 and 14. And it's a picture all throughout Scripture from there on out. It's a picture of sin in a person's life. So when we look into this person's life here, this morning, this man, we're looking here as a leper, but we're looking at it as a picture of sin in a life of you and I. You see, I say number one, this man was depraved. He was full of leprosy. Leprosy is a sickness that would be like a sore on the skin, but it would not just stay on top of the skin. Leprosy would bore its way and spread its way down into the tissue and all the way to the bone. And leprosy was something that would destroy a person. And leprosy, not only would it penetrate, but leprosy would separate, because if a person was leper, they were separated from their family. They were put off into quarantine. They were separated from the rest of the tribe that they lived with. They were separated from their wife. They were separated from their family. Hey, leprosy was a depraving sin or a sickness that is a picture of sin. Leprosy would cut off one from their loved ones, cut off one from all hope. Can I say that's a picture of sin? That's exactly what sin does. Sin may start out small. Sin may start out minute. Sin may even start out hiding it. But it sooner or later goes spread. I was thinking about trying to get all this in today and get y'all to give me attention. The leper in the Old Testament, when he would come home from work, and one day he would look down and he would see a spot on his hand or his arm, and he'd say, Oh, that's nothing. And he'd try to brush it away. He'd try to brush it away. And maybe it was there the next day, so he'd cover it up, you know, try not to let nobody see it. And then maybe the third day he'd go to his wife and say, "Honey, do you see that? Do you see that spot?" And she'd say, "Yeah, I see it." She'd say, "I'll tell you what we do. Let's get us a bandage and let's cover it up." And they'd cover it up so nobody else could see it. But after maybe a few more days, she says, "Honey, that's not going away. That's getting bigger. That's spreading. That's going deeper. It's getting wider." She said, "I'll tell you what you better do. You better go down and see the priest." And so that leper, that man that had that sore, he would go down to see the priest. And here's what the priest would do. I'll give it to you in a nutshell and give you just a big picture all in one. The priest would look at it, and he'd see that spot, and he'd say, "Well, I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to check this out." So he would put him away in a special house for 7 days. And he'd say, "In 7 days, I'm going to check you out again. And if it's gone away and it's getting better, we'll send you back home. But if it's growing, if it's still there, listen, we're going to have to do something else." So after 7 days, if it was still there, he put him back in for 7 more days. And after 2 weeks, when that boy come in, listen, if that thing wasn't leprosy, it was gone. But if it was leprosy, that thing's going to spread. It's just going to get bigger. It's just going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger. So here's what would happen. The priest would say, "Son, I'm sorry, but you can't go back home. You can't go back to your family. You can't go back to your job. You can't go back to your loved ones. You're going to have to go over here into the quarantine. You're going to have to stay. And not only that, when you get there, you're going to have to, when you see someone coming down the street, maybe even it's your wife, maybe it's even your youngins, when you see them, you're going to have to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And he couldn't get near them. He couldn't have no contact with them. And so, listen, hey, this old boy here, the attitude of the leper, he knew he was depraved. He knew that he had a sickness. Listen, for some time now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long, but he was full of leprosy. It didn't just say he had a spot, but the Bible said he was full of leprosy. And can I say that's what happens in the life of a lot of men, women, boys, and girls. It starts out small, and they try to cover it up. It starts out with something that they don't think's that bad, and they try to brush it off. They try to do away with it. They try to hide it from everybody else. But can I say, if there's sin in your life, you're not going to hide it. You're not going to cover it up. You're not going to keep it from doing any harm, but it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And I want to say it like the old timer said it: sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you way more than you ever wanted to pay. He was depraved. Let me say this: not only was he depraved, but he was devastated. Devastated. You say, how do you know he was devastated, preacher? Well, right here in the Bible says he was full of leprosy. Who, seeing Jesus, the Bible said he fell on his face. He fell on his face. Matthew chapter number 8, the Bible says that he fell at his face and he worshiped. When you got a problem in life, when you're dealing with sin or an issue in your life, you've got a problem in your life and you need God to do it, you don't come up into God's presence like this and say, "Hey, God, do it for me." No, that's not going to get you anywhere with God. That's not going to get you anywhere with God. Can I say, we do need an attitude of earnestness. We need an attitude where we need God and where we plead with God. We need not only the attitude of earnestness, but we need an attitude of expectancy, that we expect God to work. We need an attitude of enthusiasm where we're excited that he can work and that he will work. Let me just say, it's not the attitude that's going to see God's power in their life. It's not the attitude of the one who's sitting on their blessed assurance saying, "Bless me if you can." There's a lot of people in church looking around saying, yeah. "Bless me if you can," to come in church and to sit there. They're not going to get up. They're not going to go to the altar. They're not going to get involved in worship. They're not going to pray. They're not going to do anything. All they're wanting to do is, "Hey, I'm here." Just because you're here don't mean you're worshiping. One who's depraved. I mean, he's full of leprosy, but not only was he depraved, he was devastated. I'm talking about this old boy. I'm talking about, the Bible says he fell on his face. I don't know if he's laying down, kneeling down, but here he is. He's in a posture of devastation. I mean, he's on his face before God Almighty. He falls down prostrate. He falls down in ruins. He falls down as if he's dead, as if he knows he cannot help himself. He falls down in desperation. He's desperate. Not only depraved and devastated, but desperate. You know, he realized the word, the Bible says that he besought him. It means that he was in want and he began to need him and to ask him and to request and to beg and to beseech God and to ask Jesus to help me. He besought him. He was dependent. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This old boy knew that he couldn't do it for himself. There's a lot of people sitting on church pews that need to get around and grab hold of the fact that you can't do what you need for yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't clean yourself up. You can't live for God without the power. They sing the song, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ which liveth within me." The Christian life is not just a reformed life, it is an exchange life. It is his life for mine. You can't live it on your own. It's dependent upon him. He knew he couldn't do it himself. This old boy had here he is full of leprosy. No doubt, Brother Troy, there's no doubt in my mind that if he could have done it for himself, he'd have done it a long time ago. No doubt he probably tried. Y'all see the infomercials, "Try this to get rid of this. Try this." Man, they've got a cure for everything. Problem is, none of them work. That's why they keep selling them. Man, I'm sure he tried everything he heard about. Somebody said, "Well, if you drink cinnamon and honey and lemon juice together, that'll cure it." Somebody said to me, if you eat herbs and take vitamins, that'll cure. I'm sure everything he'd heard, he'd tried. I mean, I'd have been looking for an excuse. Did you say chicken and dumplings would cure it? Hallelujah, I'll try it. I mean, he's trying everything. I'm sure he's at the point, he's dependent, he's devastated. Here he is, he realized the depravity he's in. He realizes the ruin he's in. He'll try anything. And then Jesus comes walking down the road and he falls on his face. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I was thinking about that attitude that he had, the attitude of the leprous one. You could wrap it up in humility. Humility. You know, James said something about it. James said over in James chapter number 4, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he goes on down to verse number 10, and he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter said it like this in 2 Peter in chapter number 5 and verse 6. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Hey, he didn't say let God. I've heard people ask, praying crazy prayers. Lord, humble me. You better be careful because he'll do it. He said, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Get down on your face before God. Maybe not in a literal posture of kneeling, but in your heart. And fall before God. God, I can't do what I need. Whatever your problem, whatever your trial, whatever the sin in your life, whatever it may be that you're dealing with, God, I can't handle it on my own. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. I'm fully relying on God. Can I say that if we ever want to see revival in this country, if we ever want to see revival in this church, if you ever want to see revival in your life, this must be our heart's condition. There's no getting around it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, there's no getting around it. God's never going to revive a church that's proud and thinks they got it all together. God will never use a man of God that thinks he's God's gift to the pulpit. Amen. God will never bless a servant that thinks it's all about him. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about him. It's not all about you. Listen, it's all about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we sing this morning. That's why we preach. He's the reason I live. But oh, what a reason. The attitude of the leper, he's depraved. Here he is. He's devastated. He's desperate. He's dependent. He realizes that Jesus can, and if Jesus don't, he's in trouble. He realizes that if he's going to get some help, it's going to come from Jesus. And here he is crying out. He's worshiping. He's on his face. Can I say it wouldn't hurt some of y'all to get on your face once in a while? Can I just say, simply saying, hey, it wouldn't hurt you to let that mascara run. It wouldn't hurt you to let some of that foundation lose its hold on your face. It wouldn't hurt you to let the tears fly once in a while. Oh, what are they going to think? Well, listen, when you get in a situation where you need help bad enough, you won't give a rip what somebody thinks about you crying in front of them. You go by the bed of a cancer patient. You go by the house of somebody who's lost a loved one or the home of somebody whose mate has just walked out on them. You go ahead and find somebody that's in real deep despair and trouble, and you'll find out they're not too proud to let tears fly. Hey, I'll use her as a, I hope she don't get mad at me, but Caitlin, hey, Monday night, man, Caitlin, if y'all see Caitlin in church, she's prim and proper, very well behaved, man, and I'm tell you what, I'm proud of her, man. All of your kids done good this week, but Caitlin would have been the last person that I would have thought was making the promotion. Man, when I looked behind me, hey, I heard she tears flowing and she's boo-hooing and crying. Come on, man. You know what? She got to the point where she didn't care. She needed some help. If you want some help, you're going to have to get the past. Hey, you know, you're going to have to get past popular opinion and public opinion. You don't care what somebody at church thinks about. You don't care what Sister Sally Giles over here and Freddie Flapjacks over here said. You don't care. You're looking for God and you need some help and you got an attitude that you're dependent upon him. One reason we don't have, probably the main reason we don't have revival in our churches like we could. It's not because the power of God's not there. He's got all power, and he's not changing. I'll tell you why. It's because we're so proud we don't think we need it. It's so proud. We're so proud because we don't want to see somebody else to see us. That, well, they don't. if I go to the altar, they'll think something's wrong with my life. I got help for you. There's something wrong in all of our life. You say, well, the preacher's perfect, man. He gets up and preaches. If you could walk with this preacher, hey, don't ask my wife. Don't ask her because she'll tell you probably. But if you walked with this preacher 24-7, you'll find out this preacher ain't perfect. And I don't even want to play that part. This preacher's got problems. I need God. I'm not talking about living in gross sin. I'm not talking about adultery, running around my wife. No. But we've all got problems. And until we get honest and humble. Listen, there's a lot of people that's lost as a ball in high weeds. They sitting on the church pew. They're going through rituals week after week after week. They come to church. They sing the songs. They may even, you know, throw some money into play. And they think, deep down inside, they realize and they know they're empty. Deep down on the inside, they realize and they know they ain't got it. But they're too worried about what somebody across the church is going to think. Well, they've known me for years, and they think I'm Christian. They think I'm born again. What are they going to think if I walk down the aisle? You're going to have to get past what you think about the other person, what they think about you. You're going to have to get past that. And you're going to have to realize that you need help. And on the day of judgment, they're not going to be standing there saying, well, no, they ain't going to get you in. It's going to be, what did you do with Jesus? Well, I wanted to trust him. I wanted to get saved. I wanted to ask him to save me, but I was afraid of what? Can I ask you for your testimony? Caitlin, does it feel good to get past what everybody thinks? It feels good. You just get past it. Realize that you need him more than you need anything else. You say, well, what the people at my job going to think? What's my family going to think? I'll tell you what, if they saved, they're going to think, they're going to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But let me just say this. The attitude of the leper led to the action of the Lord. Let me tell you what the action of the Lord. You say, what did the Lord do for this leper? Well, I see something about the action of the Lord. When this man had the right attitude, when he fell on his face and realized that he needed God, the action of the Lord was number one. He responded to his call favorably. He responded to his call favorably. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? The Bible says here in verse number 13 that he put forth his hand and touched him. Now hold on, go back with me in your mind. This man has been isolated. He's in quarantine. This man's full of leprosy. He's not allowed to go back home. He's not allowed to go back to his job. Here he is. He's secluded from the rest of the city. He's away from all of his loved ones. I don't know how long he'd been there, but no doubt it had been some time since this man had felt a loving touch upon him. For a long time, no doubt. Here he is. He's the man who stands on one side of the street when someone passes by and he cries, unclean, unclean, to warn them to stay away from him so they don't be infected and become sick like him. Here he was crying unclean, and the master of the universe steps by. The God of heaven comes by, robed in flesh. The wonder of wonders comes by. And he touched him. I don't know about you, but that does something for me. I don't know how long, brother, this. I don't know how long he'd been locked up. I don't know. But I can imagine. I can just imagine that it had probably been some time. I can imagine, if y'all would let me use my spiritual imagination for a minute, maybe when he was put in quarantine, Brother Wayne, maybe he had a couple of youngins that he loved to watch run around in the yard and play. But then that day came when the priest told him he couldn't go back home, and now here he was. He's separated from family. He's separated from friends. He's separated from help. He's separated from hope. And here he is. The only people he's around is sick people just like him. He's used to, hey, unclean and watching people scatter and go the other way. He's used to people staying at a healthy distance to stay away from him. Maybe somebody would bring him some food and set it on the road and then run off so he could come get it. And he hadn't had a touch. He hadn't had a hand on him. He hadn't had the warmth of a touch on him for some time. And then all of a sudden, this man comes by named Jesus, and he reaches out, and he touched him. He touched him. You say, oh, what does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. That means he got some help. He responded to his call favorably. See, not only did he touch him, but he talked to him. Watch verse 13. He put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. He talked to him a personal talk, a personal speech to him. Hey, he's talking to him, not about him. And I can imagine now, if it's like the rest of us, hey, I can imagine people was talking about him. Y'all all right? Y'all wait? I can just imagine, you know, when you got problems, people talk about you. I don't know about the rest of you visitors, but us Baptists, when people got problems, we talk about them. Let's just be honest this morning. There's a lot of people talk about you. But this man talked to him personally. He come to him saying, I will be thou clean. Hey, listen, not only did he talk personally, but he talked powerfully. Listen, the priest couldn't make him clean. All the priest could do was quarantine. All the priest could do was, hey, here's how you can keep your family from getting. Here's how you can keep anybody else from getting your sickness. But this man come by speaking powerfully to him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word came by and began to speak life into him. Can I just say, when God speaks into your life, it'll be life. There's a lot of preachers preaching death, preaching a lot of depression and death on you. Hey, listen, God, when he speaks into your life, it'll be a speaking life. He wants to bring life to you. He responded to his call favorably. Now, I know y'all ain't getting this, but you just think about that old boy locked up, quarantined, nobody. Just imagine if you was taken away from your family a year, 2 years, 3 years. Maybe time goes by, and then somebody comes by and puts their arm on. You hadn't felt that in years. Somebody puts their hand down on your shoulder. I will be thou clean. He not only did he respond to his call favorably, but let me say this, number two. He renewed his condition fully. Watch what he said. Watch what he said. I will be thou clean. And then watch after that. And I like this word. Immediately. Not in 12 steps. Right. Not in the process of time. If yours says that in a process of time, you might want to put it down and get a Bible. It says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately. I like that. I'm glad immediately our God works. Immediately he can change a life. Immediately he can save a soul. Immediately he can put a family back together. Immediately he can start a church and build a church. Immediately he can do a work in your life. Immediately the leprosy departed. Hey, he was a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've told you before, when I was in Bible college, they told us what all meant in the Greek. All means all, and that's all means. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new, Chris. This old boy was once a leper, but when Jesus touched him and said, I will be thou clean, hey, he wasn't a leper anymore. He wasn't a leper getting better. He was healed instantaneously, immediately. He was made whole. Said his leprosy departed from him. The Bible says Jesus, over in Matthew chapter 1, the angel told Joseph, he said, thou shalt name, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's a lot of people going around saying they're saved, but they're saved in their sins. Jesus said he came to save his people from their sins. The leprosy departed. Can I say, when you get saved, you become a new creature? You don't want to live in sin no more. You don't want to live in the pit, hey, no more. You don't want to live in the hog slop anymore. He makes a new creature out of you. He gives you new desire. You're not perfect, but you're in progress. He renewed his condition fully. I heard a lot of people say, I'm working. You know the old song, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain, and I'm doing my best to make it in. I got news for you. If you're doing your best to make it in, you ain't getting in. You're going to have him reach out and touch you and speak life into you. You're going to have to be renewed. And I'm glad he can renew fully. I'm glad that he can take a drunk and make him sober. I'm glad that he can take, bless God, he can take a drug addict and clean him up overnight, instantaneously. He can take somebody off of Skid Row and put them on Heaven's name roll, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God who can change a life and hey, make a new creature instantaneously. I don't know about these religions that teach you got to do this, and it's a process, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, you got to do this. I'd get lost on the steps, much less what I get them taken care of. By the time I got to step three, I'd have to go back to step one. But I'm glad that one day, hey, January the 10th, 1999, hey, the person of the Holy Ghost came by my way, Fishersville, Virginia, Chris, and I met the Lord of glory, and I called out on him and asked him to save me because I knew I couldn't save myself. I'm glad he reached down further than I could have ever reached up. I'm glad I wasn't looking for him, but he came looking for me. I'm glad one day the potter reached down and he grabbed the clay, and he didn't throw me away, but he made me a new vessel. I'm glad for the change he made in my life. He can do it in your life this morning. He can make you a new creature, a new vessel. Thank God. Could you imagine? You're a leper. You're full, not just one on the spot, but you're full of leprosy, Brother Mitch. You're full. It's ate up all up and down your arms. Leprosy eating at you. Anybody ever had poison ivy? Poison oak? That junk spreads. I had it one time. That's enough. I take a gas bath before I want that again. I'm talking, hey, listen, could you imagine how bad that is? Now, that's on the outside. Could you imagine having something leprosy that eats the skin all over you, full of leprosy? And then a man comes by, and he says, I will be thou clean. And immediately, wait a minute, do you got a, yeah, that's what it says, immediately. Y'all know what immediately means? It means right now. And immediately, the leprosy departed from him. Imagine that old boy. Here he is sitting there. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. I will be. Woo! Oh, he wouldn't have got emotional, would he? That's just emotions, preacher. Hey, when something happens like that, I'm going to get emotional about it. Some of y'all's against emotions unless you go to the T-ball game. Vance Havner, a great preacher in years gone by, Vance Havner said the same people come to church and sit like wooden nickels. He said that on Friday night they're out at the ball game acting like wild Comanches. Don't get excited or nothing about it, but he can change your life fully. He can renew you. He can renew your condition fully. Listen, it's not one of these things where you go, let me just help you out. Let me just help you. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. Because if you're saved this morning, I'm not going to cause you to, because the Bible's not going to make you doubt. The Bible's going to show you you're either saved or you're lost. So listen, I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm not trying to get questions. But I'm going to just help you out. If you came to an altar one day or anywhere and you went through the ritual of saying a prayer and you got up and your life wasn't changed, you didn't get saved. I didn't say you had to be perfect. But your life will be changed. You'll be a new creature. There'll be evidence of a new life in you. So if you came down to an altar and you said a prayer, you got emotional because everybody else was going through a prayer, and you said a prayer, and then you got up, went back home, and everything was the same, and you went back to living the same old way with the same old desires, I'll just help you out. You didn't get it. He will renew your condition. I don't care if you're 8, 18, or 80. When he makes a new creature out of you, he'll make a new creature out of you. He renewed his condition fully. But let me say this. He rerouted his course forever. He rerouted his course forever. Now, this will help you on that change part. This old fella, that was a leper. Now, where was he at? He was quarantined. Y'all remember now? Where was he at? Where was he at? He was quarantined. And what did he cry on from the other side of the road? Unclean. Come on, y'all. Talk to me. Hey, that's his course for some time now. He's in a quarantine. He's crying out, unclean. Stay away from me. You don't want what I got. But then Jesus comes by and touches him and talks to him and renews his condition fully. I mean, he's instantaneously made whole. And Brother Troy, I don't know. I don't know if he ever thought, well, I got to go back. Or if he just absolutely said, hey, I ain't got to go back. Can I just help you out? He didn't have to go back to the quarantine. No longer did he have to cry, unclean, unclean. Watch what Jesus told him to go show the priest. You say, why did he have to go show the priest? Well, they were under Old Testament times, but I believe this. The priest knew, listen, the priest would have known that if this boy was healed, there was only one way that he ever got healed. Y'all remember Naaman? Naaman the leper went down into, and Jesus or God told him to go down in the leper into to the prophet. He told him to go down in the water seven times, and he come up clean. Listen, this old priest is going, no, this don't happen every day. It's not from the quarantine. It's not from anything he'd done. Can I just say, the priest was going to be astonished. It's going to blow his mind because he knew that only God could heal a leper. There was no cure. They didn't have prime care. They didn't have the Baptist or the Forsyth. They didn't have all the hospitals. There was no cure. The only way this old boy was ever going to get cured and get some help is if Jesus came by. And that old priest, he might have been stuck in dead religion thinking, oh, this ain't going to happen. He might have been thinking Jesus wasn't God, but hey, when that old boy that used to be a leper went down, he wasn't a leper no more, Chad. And when he got down there to the priest, that priest said, whoa, what happened to you? Now all that boy could say is he touched me. He made me whole. Well, we're saying, preacher, I'm saying this. I'm saying if you and I will have the proper attitude of dependence and relying and trusting in God, he can and he will make a difference in our situations. This is true in our salvation. When it comes to being saved, it's true that we fully depend and trust in him. It's true of our service. You say, preacher, I would do this, but I can't. You're right. You say, I'd live for Jesus, but I can't. You're right. But he can through you. It's true in salvation. It's true in service. It's true in surrender. It's true in our personal lives. It's true in our homes. It's true in our churches. True in our country. Listen, I have had Bible professors tell me, God will, he'd say this, we can't, I've heard him say this, we can't have revival in America. And I'm just going to simply say this, with an attitude like that, you're right. What did James say? Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. I'll help you out this morning. You know how close you are to God? I can tell you, Gary, I can tell you right now how close you are to God. You want me to tell you? You're as close as you want to be. You're as close as you want to be. And that's the same for every person under the sound of my voice. Brother Dennis, you're as close as God as you want to be. I am as close to God. God is not hiding in the box saying, nah, 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 boo, boo, you can't find me. No, God said, you draw nigh to me. Young person, listen, it doesn't matter if you're 18, 16, 15, 17, 14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, boom. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter how old you are. He said, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. If you want to be close to God, you draw nigh to him. You get in his word. You get in your prayer closet. You start praying and seeking him. I'm saying, hey, the Bible says, Isaac, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. If you want the power of God and the presence of God in your life, listen, it's not just for teen camp. It's great to go to teen camp and watch and see what God can do, but it can happen at home. It can happen at your church. It can happen every day of your life if you'll learn to draw nigh to Him. Mom and Daddy, it can happen to you. Singers, it can happen for you. Let's draw nigh. He said, you draw nigh and I'll draw nigh to you. You're as close as, this church is as close to God as the people in this church want to be. This country is as close to God as the people in this country want to be. Do we need a revival? You better believe this country needs a revival. You say, preacher, is it going to happen? I don't know if God will send a revival to this country. I don't know, but I believe He can. Listen, but I'll say this. He may never send a revival to this country. He may never send a revival to this community. He may never send a revival to this church. But oh, thank God, I know that He can send a revival in my heart if I'll humble myself and I'll pray and I'll seek His face and I'll get on my face before God and I'll ask Him to touch me. I'm saying He will if you will. Say, preacher, how can we change this country? I'll tell you how you can change this country. Change you. If an individual gets close to God and enough individuals in a church gets close to God and that church as a whole gets close to God and that church makes an impact on the community around it and the people in that community start getting close to God and they sense a revival and God sends a revival to that community, hey, it can spread, amen, but it starts one heart at a time, one person, one soul, one individual at a time. If we have the attitude that God used to or that God can't, He won't. Mark 6, verse 5 and 6, you can go over there and read about, talk about when Jesus came into His own hometown. He could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. They limited. He couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Just read it, Mark 6, 5 and 6. May I ask you this morning. Do you have the attitude that God can't save? That God can't build this church? God can't change your family life? God can't turn this country around? God can't intervene in whatever your particular situation is. God can't put your home back together. God can't save your loved ones. God can't reach your youngins that's running wild. God can't change a situation. Can I say, if that's your attitude, you need to change your outlook. You need to change your attitude. You need to take a lesson from this leper. And that lesson is this. He will if you will. Trust Him. Trust Him. Call out. Listen, if you'll seek Him, if you'll hunger for Him, He said you'll be filled. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. He will if you will. He will, if you will. We're standing all across the auditorium. You've got a song you can do for an invitation. The altar's open. We're standing. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you're sitting here this morning.